what we're gonna do, people. It's like a board meeting.
So is making a blockbuster, is it like incredibly tiring? Is it a challenge every day? How was it making this big a movie?
Well, you know, it wasn't that much different than things I've done before, other than the fact that people will see this movie, I guess. But, you know, that's all in, you know, the result of the movie. This, you know, actually doing it was very, you know, luckily I just have one responsibility. I just have to play my role as best I can and try to get as prepared as I could for it. But, I mean, you know, you obviously see some pretty amazing things every day when you come to work, and you know, it was kind of unreal for me, just the whole, you know, idea of being a part of it to begin with, because I grew up with these movies. I was a big fan of the first two movies, and so there was a little bit of that. Like, you know, it took me a while to get used to the idea. But, you know, once you get into it and once you, you know, get into the scenes, I just had to do what I've done for a long time. So that's really it.
Do you know Edward Furlong? I mean, how is it stepping into a role that someone else
has? I don't know him. You know, I guess there was some initial pressure in that, because there's a lot of fans of the second movie that I think probably want to see a successful formula repeated, you know, and they get used to something, you know, and you know, I myself was used to it, like, I, you know, to him in that movie, and you know, that's, he was John Connor and stuff, and but they just wanted to go, like, a new direction with it. I knew that, the new director and new kind of, you know, new direction for the story, you know. So I was just one piece of that, I think, and I just took my cue from Jonathan and just tried to make it my own as much as I could. So, no, he was never going to play it. I read that somewhere, actually, but he was one of the guys who screen tested for this, so yeah.
Did you test for this?
I did. I tested three times for it. I had like three readings, and then there was like three screen tests. So it became like definitely the most extensive like audition process I've ever been a part of.
Did
so
you find yourself thinking, you know, guys, I've been doing this since I'm 12. What?
Well, no, not really. I knew that I hadn't done anything like this, and there was no indication from anything I've done before that would suggest that I could, you know. I think Jonathan Mostow is a very detailed director. He's very meticulous, and he wants to make sure that he wanted to make sure everything was right and that it was in its proper place. And so, you know, it was tough. It was I just wanted to, like, for it to be done. I was like, you know, yes or no, you know, like, it was kind of that deal, because it just lasted for a while, and I was, but, you know, obviously worth it, you know. So.
What kind of factor is the spectacle in terms of trying to create a character, but also part of this job is being in the right place when the explosions go off, so you don't get hurt and the camera gets the shot and they don't have to. So there are a lot of things that you might not have to think about in, say, in the bedroom that you did have to.
Right.
This. How do you balance that, being part of this spectacle but not making it, letting it overwhelm what you're trying to do?
Sure. Well, you know, like I said, it was, for me, it was very similar to the things I do, you know, as for acting wise, like, I, you know, that was my job, and obviously, like, I was out of harm's way. They, you know, there's people that take care of that for you. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't think about anything else, like, you know, expectations of the movie, or, you know, I had enough kind of on my plate, I guess, just trying to make the roles as good as I could and believable, and you know. Yeah, so yeah, that's really it, you know. That I mean, that's it, you know, it was just a different thing. The surroundings, the context was so huge and fantastical, you know. But that's the great thing I thought about the second movie, was in the midst of this, you know, big over the top kind of world, and this you know, concept was that was real human drama, and that was real emotion, and that's what stood out to me in the second movie, was Linda Hamilton's character. You know, I thought she was great in the second movie, and really, you know, just sold the, you know, as I think the more realistic the relationships are, the more it sells all of the special effects and things like that, the more willing you are to kind of accept those things, you know. Sorry, that's it.
What does this mean with this movie and with the series coming up? Is this the death of Indie Guy? I mean,
well, I don't see it as anything like that. I've always just responded to roles and stories, and you know, and this just happens to be a bigger movie, and I don't know what it would. Hopefully, it'll create some further opportunities and things like that. And but that's really what I'm interested in is doing. You know, I really respond to certain roles that kind of jump out at me, and I know that's you know where I can. That's kind of more my strength, I guess. So whether it's big or small, or you know, it's not as important to me, you know. He's got my vote. Definitely, you know. I don't know if that's gonna happen anytime soon, but the Governator. That's a good one. That'd be a nice title above the article. Yeah, you know, he's a very like confident guy, you know, obviously, and he's I think he pretty much just, you know, succeed at whatever he puts his mind to doing. He's like, that's kind of who he is, completely self-made person, and you know, so I give him the seal of approval.
What goes through your mind that first time Arnold grabs you, picks you up in the air? I mean, you're being, you know, the Terminator's an iconic figure by now. I mean, it must be hard to keep your concentration on what you're doing. I'm thinking, Jesus, I'm being picked up by Arnold.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it took some getting used to, like, to see him in that wardrobe and to see, you know, and he's so recognizable, and like, you know, it took a while to like sort of accept the fact that I was doing this movie. But by then, by the time we got into some real scenes, like some longer scenes, we had already been filming for a while, and so I was kind of used to the idea. But it, you know, it was surreal for me every day to, you know, to be a part of it, and so yeah. Right. I mean, that's you know, where when this movie picks up, he's kind of living, you know, sort of a lonelier life. He's kind of isolated, and you know, the second movie was, you know, he was a teenager. It's still very fresh in his mind, and you know, all of the events from that movie, and so he knows that this is somewhat of a reality. And so he's continually looking over his shoulder, and he's paranoid of, you know, the coming future, and so, you know, you know, he avoids like social interaction and things like that, and so yeah, that's sort of the transition he goes through in this movie, is just coming to a place of acceptance, where, you know, of and learning about himself, really, like, in standing up and taking kind of more responsibility, I guess, for what he knows he has to do, you know. Right. Well, I read this reluctance and this hesitation to assume this role is a very human trait, you know. He's really freaked out by the whole notion, and I think it's a little, I don't know, that's what kind of sold it to me, in fact, was the reality of it was, you know, that's sort of a fairy tale in a way, this person who's has no fears and this, you know, and that's what separates him from Arnold, you know, is from the machines, are these fears, these insecurities, and I thought it was an interesting place to go from the second movie, because when he was younger, he seemed, I think the world was a little more wide open to him, you know. And I think he was somewhat scarred by the events of in the second movie, and so I think he's much more realistic in when this movie starts. I didn't get to read the script until I had already been cast in the movie. Like, I, during the whole audition process, I didn't get to read it. And when I finally did, I was like in like a locked room, you know, with like some guy there. He was like the script keeper or something. He was very like very under wraps and stuff. And they had each script, like tagged and personalized in a way that, I guess, you know, that with subtle changes to the dialogue so that they would know which script actually was copied, you know? So I think they had the basis covered, you know, but... Hopefully, you know, it's I think it leaves it pretty wide open for sequels, and you know, I think, I mean, it's I'm curious to see where they would go with it, you know, because there's lots of possibilities, but yeah, I mean, that would suggest that they have another one in mind. So,
are you signed on for another one?
Yeah.
One or two?
Two, actually. Well, I think just to see him kind of doing his thing and to see him in his element, he's the master of this type of movie, you know, and I think that instilled confidence in everyone working with him, you know, because, you know, he's a very hard worker, which I was impressed by, and he obviously doesn't have to work as hard as he does because, you know, he just doesn't need to at this point, but he does. He wants to make the movie as good as it could be. He's a big collaborator, and you know, but as well as working hard, like to see him just having fun with his work too, because that's really like seems to be one of his main goals, is to just have a good time with it, you know, and that helped me because I was very coming in, like, you know, very serious about it and very, like, you know, And he would be like, oh, serious actor guy over there, you know, like trying to do his role, you know, and it kind of like loosened me up a bit, I guess. But you know, I continued to take it seriously, and it was a necessity for me. But yeah, I mean, he's I think just his presence, you know, was very, you know, he's just commands. You know, the set, you know, he has things the way he wants them to be, and he's in control of a lot of around him, and you know, I think that rubbed off on everyone. And so
he's always got so much going on, and he's usually juggling about 12 things. Was there any bonding time with him? You see him other than when he's actually up there working? Is he accessible?
Well, you know, he's a busy guy. I didn't like go have drinks with him or anything like that. But he's definitely accessible. You know, I didn't really have much of a conversation with him for probably the first 2 weeks of filming. You know, other than like, hey, how you doing? And I wasn't particularly gonna initiate it. You know. So, but yeah, I think he's the type of guy, he's just a normal guy who doesn't, you know, just because he is this big celebrity doesn't, you know, that has this kind of big personality and stuff. I think he's, you know, he has times of, you know, being reserved and being, low key and not, you know, he's good at doing things like this, and he comes on and he'll put on a show. But you know, I think that, you know, in a lot of ways he's a much quieter person than you would think, you know. And but once actually we started talking, it was you know, he was very accessible, you know, any questions I had or any concerns or, you know, just to, you know, talk whatever. So oh yeah, it's a Depression era story of a traveling circus, and the role is just a kid who's picked up by this carnival procession and starts traveling with them, and that's really it. It's kind of the sort of the audience perspective in a way, kind of the neutral sort of. Character who you're seeing sort of these characters through his eyes. So
thank you.
When's the series start?
It airs in September.
How many did you do?
12.
Is that the end of it at 12, or is it
that's the end of it right now, as far as I know. So yeah.